Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. Let's read. So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Abraham, formerly known as Abram, before God changed his name, is mentioned more than 200 times in the Bible. You know, in fact, close to 300 times. But in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you have these constant references to Abraham. So he's a significant person in the biblical narrative and the rest of the book of Galatians. He shows up again multiple times in Galatians. So it behooves us to remember how and why God called Abraham, what was the promise God made to Abraham, and quite importantly, what is the impact of that promise for us today? Keep in mind that verse 6 connects Abraham's faith to verses 1 through 5, where Paul reminds the Galatians that they received the Spirit of God by faith, and they need to remain in the Spirit, not in the flesh, by faith. Just like Abraham received God's promise by faith. So who was Abraham? We know from Genesis that Abraham's ancestors lived in the land of Ur of the Chaldeans. Abraham's father, Terah, took his brother Haran's son, Lot, his son, Abraham, and Abraham's wife, Sarah, and set out from Ur for Canaan. What do we know of Terah? Joshua chapter 24, verses 2 to 3 states, This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. How did God lead Abraham into Canaan? Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4 states, The Lord had said to Abram, Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. Abraham believed the Lord and went. But even after arriving in Canaan and receiving God's promise that his descendants would inherit that land, Abraham couldn't understand how God's promise would be fulfilled since his wife was barren and he was getting older. In fact, when God first speaks to him and calls him out like this, tells him to go, he's 75 years old. And then we come to a very pivotal passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. It says this, After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He, the Lord, took Abraham outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he, the Lord, credited it to him, to Abraham, as righteousness. That's what we read in Galatians. That's coming directly from Genesis. But listen to how Hebrews chapter 11, 8 through 12 summarizes Abraham's faith. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac, Abraham's son, and Jacob, Abraham's grandson, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. You can see why Paul refers to Abraham as someone worth emulating. Abraham believed by faith in the Lord that by his obedience he would be a blessing not only to his descendants but to all the nations of the world. In Galatians 3:16, we'll see that the specific promised blessing through Abraham to the nations was Jesus. The gospel was the blessing to the nations. Through Jesus, those who, like Abraham, believe the Lord's promise of salvation and adoption are brought into the same spiritual lineage of Abraham. Those who have faith in the Lord, like Abraham, become the children of Abraham. They're joined in. They are grafted in. Why is it important that we are counted as children of Abraham, that a spiritual lineage is established in terms of the promise of God? Paul will lay out in Galatians chapter 4 the difference between a child of promise and a child of the flesh. For now, in chapter 3, what we just read this morning, I want to focus on verse 9. Those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. We are united to the Lord and one another in the body of Christ by faith, not works, not by keeping the law. We are justified, made righteous before God by faith, not works, not by keeping the law. We receive the Holy Spirit by faith, not works, not by keeping the law. We are blessed. We receive the same blessings of Abraham. The Lord is our shield and our very great reward, our excellent reward. We receive all of that by faith, not by works, not by keeping the law. I'm belaboring the point because just like the Galatians, we know the truth. We have read these scriptures, but we keep wandering away from it. And as Paul warns the Galatians, we keep trying to complete in the flesh by our works, by the actions that we take, by keeping the law. We try to do in the flesh what was begun in the Spirit. And Paul is continuing to remind us and continuing to point out, look at Abraham. Look at Abraham. Watch this. Listen to this. Pay attention to this. He did these things by faith, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So here's what we must learn from the life of Abraham. Abraham believed even after he disbelieved. There were times, clearly, that Abraham was concerned, was skeptical, was not sure. At age 75, if you're told you're going to have many descendants, you'll be a little skeptical. And the Bible doesn't explicitly state all of his disbelief, but in fact, in Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 25, it says this: against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old by the time Isaac was born, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. She was barren. She was not only old, she was also barren. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why his faith, was credited to him as righteousness. The words, "it was credited to him," were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. These are wonderful truths. These are wonderful statements of life. These give life and joy to us when we say, oh, this is what the Lord has done. It wasn't that Abraham was something special, that he excelled in some other way. It was just that he obeyed. He responded in faith to the call of God. He responded in faith to what the Lord promised, even though he wavered in some unbelief, I'm sure. And, you know, he did not give in to that unbelief, but continued to strengthen himself, to strengthen his faith in the Lord by saying, Lord, you are faithful. Now, mind you, at the time that Abraham was called and all of these things were happening, there wasn't a big historical record. It wasn't like he had the scriptures. It wasn't that he was saying, oh, I read of the Lord's faithfulness, and I go to my local church and I talk to all the brothers and sisters there and I hear the testimonies and I know that the Lord is faithful. He had none of that. And yet, he was willing to trust the Lord. He was willing to believe that what the Lord had said, he would do. For us, we have all the encouragements that we possibly could need, and yet we don't pay attention. We don't respond. That's why this chapter, this section here from Romans says, these words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone. They're written for us. The word of God, the scripture, is written for our instruction, for our training, for our reproof, for our correction, for our ability or the response to respond to the Lord's call, to respond to the Lord's truth, to respond in faith to the gospel message. Now, Abraham believed even after he disobeyed. Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 20, and chapter 20 describe how Abraham lied twice about his wife Sarah, saying, she's my sister, not my wife. And he did it because he was afraid that the kings of the land, Pharaoh and Abimelech, the kings of the land in Egypt and another place as such, he was afraid that they would kill him and take Sarah. And so he lied. He didn't go to God and say, God, protect me. He took matters into his own hands. Similarly, in Genesis chapter 16, it describes how Abraham had a child by Hagar, who was Sarah's servant. And at Sarah's prompting, Abraham had a child by Hagar when both Sarah and Abraham, in their impatience, took matters into their own hands. So this is a man of faith. This is a person who is believing in the Lord, who is trusting in the Lord, who, when he's wavering in unbelief, comes back to the word of God and to the promises of God, and he is confident that God, who said, I am with you and I am your reward and I am your shield, he's confident about that. And yet, there are these points of disobedience, of sin. There, and being a human being, there's probably many other things that we have no record of. But the point that I want to make to you is that even in spite, despite his disobedience, as Romans chapter 4 verse 20 made clear in what we just read, he continued to return to the promises of God. Abraham kept believing, kept trusting, kept coming back to God. And this is an important point for us in terms of understanding these two truths, that Abraham had believed even when there was reason to disbelieve, and Abraham believed in spite of his disobedience. What happens with us is we tend to think that we have disqualified ourselves whenever we have disbelief. Or we tend to think that we have disqualified ourselves by our disobedience. And so we say, oh, you know, this Christian life is hard. I tried it. I tried to do what God said. I tried to believe. I tried to walk in his ways. I tried to be obedient. It's just, I messed up. I don't think I can keep doing this. I don't think I can keep going. I don't think I can be a Christian. What is the message we're saying to ourselves, that we're reinforcing in ourselves? Well, it's all up to me. It's all up to me. And I'm not able to walk in the ways that the Lord has called me to. I'm not able to keep the law. Therefore, I must be bad. Therefore, I must be out. But you see, the Lord is faithful to keep his word, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He washes us clean. He's the one who finds Abraham righteous, not because of Abraham's excellence, perfection, you know, lack of any sin. No. In spite of everything, the Lord cleanses, purifies, refines, continues to speak in a very intimate way, very personal way that the Lord speaks with Abraham. And Abraham believes. And then Abraham believed even after he was tested. In Genesis chapter 22, it describes how the Lord tested Abraham regarding his son Isaac. Can you imagine that after waiting for 25 years in your old age, when you've got a promise, at age 75, and now at age 100, a child is born to your barren wife. You've received a son, the son of promise. And then some years later, it's possibly quite a few years later, that the Lord says to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. Now, if you have any questions about that, and why did God do that, and what was this practice of sacrificing your firstborn, things like that, we'll cover that in the sermon discussion on Wednesday. I'm not going into details on that particular point this morning. I just want to say this. The Lord tested Abraham. Earlier I read from Hebrews chapter 11 verses 8 through 12 of Abraham's faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 verses 17 through 19, we have an additional reference to Abraham's faith when he was tested by the Lord. And in Hebrews 11, 17, it says this, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. God tells him, take your son, go up on the mountain and sacrifice him. Abraham says, son, let's go. Now, I mean, the Bible doesn't record anything else. It doesn't say he waited for 3 or 4 days to see if God would change his mind. It doesn't say, you know, I talked to my son. I tried to help him understand. I explained everything. He says, all right, God, you said it. I'm doing it. But listen to this. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Now, if you don't know the details of the story, Abraham didn't kill Isaac. The Lord provided a ram, a substitutionary atonement, payment, right? And was setting up, once again, foreshadowing what was to happen when Jesus would come. That instead of each one of us dying for our sins or dying because that would be the penalty for sin, the Lord himself came and died on our behalf. There was the shedding of blood so that we could be cleansed and forgiven. So all that takes place. But I want to come back to this point here. Abraham was willing to obey the Lord. He believed by faith. He took an action. And he was willing to even say that if I kill my son, the Lord will raise him back to life. Why? Because the Lord said that through this son, I'm going to have other descendants. So even if he dies, the Lord will raise him up. That was the extent of his faith. Now, we would have looked for some way out. We would have said, surely, Lord, you can't mean this. Surely, Lord, you can't mean that you want me to quit my job. Surely, Lord, you can't mean that you want me to do this particular thing or go to this particular place or give this particular amount or help this person in need. Surely, you know what the circumstances of my life are and what a great sacrifice this would be. And you can't mean that you want me to do this. We would have bargained with God. Abraham said, I will obey God. And even if the result of my obedience seems like it has violated everything else that I was promised, I will trust God that he will bring life out of it, that he will resurrect it, that he will do what is right, that he will keep his word, that he will be consistent. And I want to ask you the question. When we are tested, when we are going through these same situations or similar situations, do we stop and consider? You see, when Abraham heard God's voice, not only did he not bargain, he discerned that it was God's voice. He didn't say, the devil told me to go and sacrifice my son. He said, God has told me to do this. He discerned God's voice. He believed God. And he was convinced that the Lord who had enabled a miraculous birth could also enable a miraculous rebirth, resurrection. Right? And so he goes through it. The question for us is, when we hear the voice of God, do we discern it to know that it is the voice of God? Or are we paying attention to the voice of the world, the flesh, and the devil? Are we truly discerning the voice of the Lord? And are we quick to obey even a seemingly ungodly command? It seems like, oh, this couldn't be from God. But how do we respond when we discern that it is God speaking? Are we willing to believe that no matter what, whether in life or in death, the Lord will be true. The Lord will be faithful. We learn from Abraham and follow his example of faith to inherit the same blessings as he did. We respond and apply the word of God that we have heard by receiving the inheritance of Abraham by faith. Just like Isaac and Jacob, who was renamed Israel, and the children of Israel who believed the Lord, who by faith walked in the ways of the Lord. We inherit the promises and blessings of God to Abraham when we believe the Lord Jesus, who is the confirmation and the fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham. All those promises that God made to Abraham, Jesus is the fulfillment. Jesus is the culmination. Jesus is the one in which all of those things come together. And we say, oh Lord God, I believe you. I believe that you've shed your blood for me. I believe that you gave made this sacrifice on my behalf. And because I believe in the same way that Abraham did, I receive the same blessings that Abraham did. Just as the Lord blessed Abraham, the Lord's blessings of his presence. He said, I will be with you. The Lord's blessing of his plan. He will show the way. He leads, he guides, he directs. The Lord's blessing of his protection. He says, I will be your shield and defender. The Lord's blessing of his provision. He says, I will give you all this land and everything else. I will give it to you. The Lord's blessing of all of these different things that were given to Abraham are now ours in Christ Jesus. The Lord promises us his presence. The Lord promises to guide and direct our steps and have a purpose for our life that can be fulfilled in him. The Lord promises to protect us. The Lord promises to provide for us, that there will be nothing that we lack, that as we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he'll add everything to us. The Lord's generational blessings for our descendants are ours in Christ Jesus. That is part of the blessing that he promised to Abraham. The Lord's blessings to the nations, all the people groups in the world, are manifest as we share the gospel message of Jesus Christ to all the nations. Through us, the blessing of Abraham, the blessing given to Abraham, continues to be manifest. There was no stop. It was not meant to be stopped. It wasn't, this is a dead end. It's the Dead Sea. It's, the blessings come to Abraham and stop there. No. The blessings that were given to Abraham were meant to then continue through the generations. His direct descendants who would believe, and those who by coming through the sacrifice of Jesus would believe and therefore be joined into that lineage, to be grafted in that way. This is a wonderful promise. This is such a great truth for us. This helps us to understand that, Lord God, if I can submit my life to you and believe, trust, live by faith, not by my works, the blessings that are promised to me by faith outdo, outnumber, outmeasure anything else that I could even ask or imagine. That's the contentment that we can have in Christ Jesus. That's the promise that the Lord makes to us. Through the rest of the book of Galatians, we're going to encounter Abraham a few more times, and there'll be other scriptures that you'll come across in the Word of God as you're doing your Bible reading or you're doing other things and you're going through your own study. I encourage you to do that. Look up in a concordance, find all the occurrences of the word Abraham or Abram, and just read these scriptures. But I wanted this morning to lay this kind of a context, to present this context and say, what is it about Abraham that we need to emulate? What is it about Abraham that we need to pay attention to? And really, it's just this very simple thing. Abraham, by faith, trusted the Lord and saw his work take place. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you are a good God to us, that you love us and you care for us, and that, Lord, you've given us an example to follow. An example that is not of a person who was perfect, but who, in spite of all his imperfections, trusted you, believed you, exercised faith. And I pray, Father, that we, each one of us, will exercise faith, that we will stand in you, that we will love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.